Right now on VFN TV, we're continuing to meet President Trump on his first international trip as he meets with President Abbas of the Palestinian people. And in addition, we're going to be going to Rome with President Trump right now on VFN TV.
Welcome to VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T.
What Trump did was, Trump was risen up as the door was closing and judgment was coming on America, and we were heading down that road where our economy would have absolutely spiraled out of existence. And God put a mercy visit instead. He put a hard-nosed, prophetic Cyrus who stands there at the door and says, no, there's going to be an extension of peace and grace on America.
Whoever gets in, people are going to say, what?
I don't want to sound overly melodramatic, but this is probably the most astonishing night of American politics.
I have been looking around the room at people who are stone-faced. Some of them have been crying.
How did this happen? What? What is going on? What?
But the Lord showed me in this particular night vision, this dream, we were in this courtroom, the evil one was on trial, and the prosecutor looks at us and says, he's going to get convicted. And then all of a sudden, he turns it back towards the judge, and as soon as he turns to the judge, the gavel comes down, and the entire courtroom begins to feel like slices of gold, thin slices of gold, just started raining down in the courtroom nonstop. And he turns around to us. You can't even see across the courtroom. He points at us and says, I told you it was coming. When God deals with the evil one, the resources get released. There's going to be great resources coming.
We will be protected by God.
The name of Jesus got more attention that day than any inauguration I can ever remember.
In the mighty name of Jesus, amen.
Your heavenly Father, respectfully in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Glory to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
If I forget thee, O Jerusalem, may my right hand forget its skill.
And this is the breakthrough year.
Breakthroughs. There's that word breakthrough again.
The Lord told me there's a year of incredible breakthroughs coming to us. Long-awaited victories for us.
I am here tonight to deliver a message of unity and strength. And it is a message deeply delivered from my heart.
Well, I think the president, it's no secret, has made it very clear that he's a pro-life president. He wants to stand up for all Americans, including the unborn. And I think the reinstatement of this policy is not just something that echoes that value, but respects taxpayer funding as well. And ensures that we're standing up not just for life of the unborn, but for also taxpayer funds that are being spent overseas to perform an action that is contrary to the values of this president. I think continue to further illustrate, not just to the folks here in this country, but around the world, what a value we place on life.
Life is winning again in America.
What I hear most often as I travel the country are five words that never, ever fail to touch my heart. That's I am praying for you. I hear it so often. I am praying for you, Mr. President. Our republic was formed on the basis that freedom is not a gift from government, but that freedom is a gift from God. For us here in Washington, we must never, ever stop asking God for the wisdom to serve the public according to his will.
The alliance between Israel and America has always been extremely strong. It's about to get even stronger.
One of the big issues is the embassy in Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. How important is it to repair this relationship, and what about that move of the embassy?
It's repaired.
It's repaired already?
It got repaired as soon as I took
it. 5 minutes?
Yeah, it's repaired.
I've known the president, and I've known his family and his team for a long time. And there is no greater supporter of the Jewish people and the Jewish state than President Donald Trump. I think we should put that to rest.
He proceeded to ask me, who did President Truman lean on to help get the Jews back in the Holy Land? I said, General Eisenhower. The Lord said to me, I have raised up Trump, and I am also giving him generals. to help defend my people, the Jews, to keep them in their homes. What was will be again.
We are also taking strong measures to protect our nation from radical Islamic terrorism. A quote by the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. In 1955, he told the world, "We are determined to work and fight until justice runs down like water and righteousness like a mighty stream." Each American generation passes the torch of truth, liberty, and justice in an unbroken chain all the way down to the present. That torch is now in our hands, and we will use it to light up the world.
I dare not trust the sweetest flame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
With your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV. I'm Greg Lancaster, and joining me just a moment is John Ramos. Well, we are still with President Trump in Israel. It's the most exciting trip. It's a world historical trip because it's the first president. President Trump is the first president that ever went to his first international travel to put Israel on his agenda. And while he was there, not only did he meet with obviously in Saudi Arabia with the king of Saudi Arabia, but he also came and he's met with Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, also the president of Israel. But now he even met with Abbas, the president of the Palestinian people in Bethlehem. As a matter of fact, let's go there now.
In the name of God, the most gracious, the most merciful, Your Excellency, Mr. President, and dear friend Donald Trump, it's my pleasure to welcome you here in Palestine and receive you as a great guest of our people here in Bethlehem, the birthplace of Jesus, peace be upon him, from which the message of
love.
To condemn the horrible terrorist attack that occurred in Manchester City, the British city of Manchester, leaving tens of casualties and innocent people. I do offer my warm condolences to the Prime Minister of Britain, families of victims, and the British people. Your Excellency, meeting you in the White House early this month has given us and our Palestinian people, as well as also giving all the nations across the region so much hope and optimism of the possibility to make true a dream, a long-awaited dream and ambition, and that is a lasting and justice-based peace. Our Palestinian people's attainment of their freedom and independence is the key to peace and stability in the world, so that the children of Palestine and Israel enjoy a safe, stable, and prosperous future. I would like to reiterate, Your Excellency, Mr. President, our commitment to cooperate with you in order to make peace and forge a historic peace deal with the Israelis, and we would like to reassert our willingness to continue to work with you as partners in fighting terrorism in our region and in the world. In this respect, I commend the importance of the holding of the Arab Islamic American Summit and its findings and outcomes. And conclusions, Your Excellency, Mr. President, once again, we reassert to you our positions of accepting the two-state solution along the borders of 1967, the state of Palestine with its capital as East Jerusalem, living alongside the state of Israel in peace and security and good neighborhood, as well as resolving the entire final status issues based on international law and internationally legitimate resolutions and respecting signed agreements, which sets the tone for the implementation of the Arab Peace Initiative in accordance with what has been reaffirmed in the most recent Arab summit in Jordan. Your Excellency, as you have witnessed during your, as you saw yesterday during your historic visit of holy sites in occupied East Jerusalem and today in Bethlehem, the conflict is not between religions. For respecting religions and prophets is an integral part of our religion and faith. And we are keen to keep the door open to dialogue with our Israeli neighbors from all walks of life in order to boost confidence and create a genuine peace opportunity. Our fundamental problem is with the occupation and settlement and failure of Israel to recognize the state of Palestine in the same way we recognized it, which undermines the realization of the two-state solution. The problem is not between us and the Judaism. It's between us and occupation. I would like to draw the attention to the issue of our Palestinian prisoners who have been on hunger strike for more than 1 month. Meters away from here, in the vicinity of the Church of Nativity and everywhere, all across Palestine, families, mothers of prisoners suffer from being denied visits to their children. And their demands are humane and just. I demand the Israeli government to meet these humane, legitimate demands. Achievement of peace, Your Excellency, the President, will give us broad horizons and prospects to recover our economy and continue building our national institutions based on rule of law and in the spirit of tolerance and coexistence and a culture of peace, nonviolence, no incitement, and building bridges instead of walls inside our lands. Once again, I greet you with the warmest regards, Your Excellency, the President, and your accompanying delegation. I welcome you in Palestine, the Holy Land, wishing you success in your important tour, which will lead you to meeting His Holiness the Pope Francis, and whose dedicated, devoted efforts for peace we appreciate. Wishing you and the friendly American people a lifetime of health and happiness.
Well, you know, it'd be really, really good if what he said was true, but it's not true. It's not what they're doing there. It's just chaos when you think about it. But when we get back from this break, we're going to debunk the Palestinian lie, because these are lies being told. And of course, our president knows and Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu knows, but they're still wanting to work out peace in the Middle East. So join us. We're going to debunk the Palestinian lie that's being told after this break. False.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
I want to thank you so much for joining us here on VFN TV and the David Radio program. Every single day, we are on the air talking to the world and encouraging you by bringing the light, keeping the conversation light. And we also talk to you in many different ways as well. One way is at the VFN Torch. If you go to VFNTV.com and click on the torch, our program, that we have for years now with all these pertinent topics of the day, plus things that you need to know, is right there for you where you can go back and educate yourself on a particular matter. You can share things with a friend. You can listen to us in addition in SoundCloud as well. You can share things audibly with other listeners out there and other viewers and friends. There's just so much available to you at VFNTV.com. In addition, think about this. We come to you in the air, broadcasting in the air, in your pocket, which is on mobile devices, and online. We're all over the world, and we want to be able to bring encouragement to you. And we do that one way with our app. You can go to Apple App Store. You can go to Google Play Store or your Windows Store and get your app and download it. The app is called VFNTV. Of course, you go to VFNTV.com. We have our little area there that you can pick which app you want to be able to download. It's just so exciting to know that no matter where you are, we want to be able to encourage you. I don't know if you knew about this, but also you can sign up for our Torch newsletter. We have a gift for you for doing that. You just go to VFNTV.com in the upper right-hand corner and fill out that little information, and immediately a free gift will come to you. One of them is prudent preparation. Hopefully it's going to come to you and teach you how to probably prepare for the day, what's happening in our culture today, and how to think outside the box. And this is something we want to be able to give to you, plus some other gifts as well. And I also want to make sure that you have a chance to be able to become a VFN TV partner. We have a whole partners area just to say thank you. It's special areas, special events, green room, things we have available just to give our partners, just to be able to say thank you. Imagine any time you can log into the partners area. Why? Because you partnered for any dollar figure at all to be able to say thank you. Things you can share with your friends as well. Also, we have VFN Kingdom Business Partners, a whole nother area that will focus on the seven spheres of culture. Just very encouraging. And finally, I want to encourage you, maybe your business, maybe you want to become a business sponsor. Those are the ones that are standing with us, that want to keep the conversation light, that want to impact their community, but also want to be able to share their business, their service, what they provide for their community. You can do that by going to VFNTV.com. Thank you so much, and thanks for watching.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm telling you, when you hear a boss speak, you're thinking, well, that sounds nice. It reminds me of the previous administration that would say things, we get excited about it, but then it ended up totally different.
That's right.
As a matter of fact, here is, when you think about, you hear about the BDS movement, the boycott,
divest, sanctions.
Sanctions, where they're trying to say that Israel is an apartheid state, which is so not that.
An occupier.
It's the freest place to live in all of the Middle East.
That's
actually.
Right.
And then you have the Palestinian people who are constantly, they have plenty Arab Palestinian people, they have plenty of Arab nations, space to go to, places to go to, finances to go to, but they're trying to literally take over Israel continually and split.
That's because a lot of these nations didn't even want to take them in. Arab nations didn't even want to give them land.
Right. And let's debunk the Palestinian lie that's being told, because it's not true. Their goal is to basically destroy Israel, push Israel into the sea and take over all that land. And the Levant that we heard continually from the previous president, he's talking about, ISIL.
It's the leadership that wants to take over. Because you have some Palestinians that live in Israel.
And not the Palestinian people. We're talking about the government.
The government.
Which is Hamas, which they voted in.
Yes.
So, but as a matter of fact, let's take a look. This is debunking the Palestinian lie.
On May 16, 2011, the New York Times published an op-ed titled The Long Overdue Palestinian State by Mahmoud Abbas, president of the Palestinian National Authority. In that piece, Abbas called for the United Nations to formally recognize a Palestinian state based on the pre-1967 borders, regardless of negotiations with the State of Israel. The article appeared just a few days before Barack Obama's much-anticipated speech on the Arab Spring, in which the president also tried to jumpstart peace negotiations between Israel and the Palestinian Authority. To reach an agreement on a two-state solution, Obama declared, Israel must agree to return to the pre-1967 borders, modified only by mutually agreed land swaps. Now, neither Mr. Abbas nor Mr. Obama can explain how anyone could have recognized a United Nations-designated Palestinian state that Palestinian leaders and the Arab states themselves have rejected. Of the troubles in Ireland, the poet William Butler Yeats once wrote, "Great hatred, little room, maimed us at the start." In Palestine at the start, there was plenty of room, more than enough room, for a prosperous Jewish state and a prosperous Arab state. After World War I ended, with the dismantling of the Ottoman Empire, the League of Nations established the Mandate for Palestine, including all of the land that is now Israel, the West Bank, and the Gaza Strip, plus the entire territory east of the Jordan River, now called the Kingdom of Jordan. The area under the mandate was as large as Syria and about half as large as Iraq. Yet the total population at the time was less than 1 million, of whom 10% were Jews. It was in that vast, underdeveloped, and underpopulated territory that the British had promised in the language of the 1917 Balfour Declaration to support the establishment in Palestine of a national home for the Jewish people. The declaration also promised that nothing shall be done which may prejudice the civil and religious rights of existing non-Jewish communities in Palestine. Open Jewish immigration to the Holy Land was encouraged, as was freedom of speech, religion, and assembly for the Arabs of Palestine, rights they had sorely lacked under Turkish rule. Mired for more than two centuries in backwardness and grinding poverty, Palestinians were never recognized by the Ottoman Empire as possessing any distinctive national identity. The Palestinians quickly took advantage of their new freedom to speak bluntly, demanding a stop to the Jewish immigration which had just begun. Said one Arab representative during the Paris Peace Conference, "We will push the Zionists into the sea, or they will send us back into the desert." Arif Pasha Dajani, a Palestinian leader from Jerusalem, warned that it is impossible to live with the Jews. In all the countries where they are at present, they are not wanted because they always arrive to suck the blood of everybody. If the League of Nations will not listen to the appeal of the Arabs, this country will become a river of blood. Well, as promised, blood did flow when the Palestinian demand to end Jewish immigration was not granted. Jerusalem was the first flashpoint for regular Arab attacks on Jewish communities in April 1920. Palestinians from nearby towns poured into the old city. The Muslim mayor of Jerusalem and other notables worked up the crowd to launch a jihad against the Jews. "If we don't use force against the Zionists and against the Jews, we will never be rid of them," urged newspaper editor Arif al-Arif. The crowd shouted back, "We will drink the blood of the Jews," shouting Islamic slogans like "Muhammad's religion was born with the sword." Thousands surged through the Jewish quarter and into West Jerusalem. The mobs vented their rage against any Jew they could find, burning and looting homes and stores, and even attacking British and Arab policemen. After several days of rioting, the final toll was 6 Jews dead, hundreds beaten, and widespread destruction of property. What became known as the Nebi Musa riot was the opening shot in a 90-year war to reverse the Balfour Declaration. And things soon got worse as the Allies, to assuage the fears of Arab monarchs, separated the land east of the Jordan River out of the total area accessible to Jewish immigrants and created the Emirate of Transjordan. Reconciling the aspirations of Arabs and Jews became far more tenuous after the Balfour Declaration had to be carried out in the truncated area of Palestine from the Jordan River to the Mediterranean Sea. There was now much less room and a great deal more hatred. The decades that followed were marred by perpetual violence against the Jews, both in Palestine and in Europe. The two were often linked. Under the leadership of the Grand Mufti and President of the Supreme Muslim Council, Haj Amin al-Husseini, the Arabs of Palestine waged an endless jihad against their Jewish neighbors. When the British sent a royal commission to investigate a solution, the Jews, represented by Chaim Weizmann, pressed for a partition of the territory into two states, even if the territory assigned to the Jews was the size of a tablecloth. The Peel Commission's final report, published in July 1937, proposed such a division. The Jews were offered an independent state in a small enclave along the seacoast from Tel Aviv to the north of the country, constituting about 20% of the remaining mandate territory, while the Palestinian Arabs would get 80% for their own state. Desperate for any means to be able to bring in large numbers of the endangered European Jews, the Zionists reluctantly accepted the commission's partition plan. Led by the Mufti, the Arabs rejected partition out of hand and pressed on with the armed revolt against the mandate. The British succeeded in putting down the violence for a time. Al-Husseini was sent into exile. Ultimately, in Hitler's Nazi Germany, where he lived as a special guest of the Führer. But severe limitations were placed on Jewish immigration to the Holy Land in the years leading up to the Holocaust that undoubtedly directly led to the death of many thousands of European Jews. Now, following the atrocities of the Second World War, Britain relinquished authority over the mandate to the newly formed United Nations. The UN created yet another commission to try to figure out what to do with the contested territory. The United Nations Special Committee on Palestine recommended, by a vote of 7-3, yet another two-state solution, another partition plan to the General Assembly. This plan would have seen the territory divided almost equally between Jews and Arabs. Once again, the Zionists made public their acceptance of the proposal, and once again, Arab officials announced that any partition would be met with rivers of blood. Shortly after the UN vote, the 20-member Arab League sent their newly organized Arab Liberation Army against the Jews of Palestine. Elements of five regular Arab armies from Egypt, Jordan, Syria, Iraq, and Lebanon invaded Israel on May 15, 1948. Arab League Secretary General Abdul Rahman Azzam vowed, "This will be a war of extermination and a momentous massacre, which will be spoken of like the Mongol massacres and the Crusades." But despite their overwhelming numbers and heated rhetoric, after a year of fighting, it was the Jewish state that won a decisive victory. Based on the 1949 armistice lines, Israel's territory expanded by almost 40%. The Palestinian Arabs were the big losers. For the second time in 10 years, their leaders rejected a partition plan that would have given them independence and more land designated for their state than for the Jewish state. Instead, they ended up with nothing, and 650,000 Palestinians became refugees. Jordan's King Abdullah sent his Arab Legion to occupy the Palestinian West Bank and annex the territory to his kingdom. Egypt took the Gaza Strip and for the next 18 years denied Palestinians any civil rights. It never occurred to the rulers of Jordan or Egypt to create a state for the homeless Palestinians, nor did new Palestinian leaders like Yasser Arafat protest this occupation of their land by foreign rulers. Now, three times in the past decade, Israeli prime ministers have offered Palestinian leaders an independent state far more generous than anything Jordan and Egypt ever allowed when they controlled the West Bank and Gaza. At Camp David in 2000, Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Barak agreed to the border suggested by President Clinton that would have established a West Bank Gaza Palestinian state with some territorial adjustments and with the Palestinians getting East Jerusalem as their capital. For his part, Palestinian Liberation Organization Chairman Yasser Arafat walked out of negotiations, went back home, and launched the Second Intifada. Invoking Islamic Jew hatred as justification, the Palestinians conducted a three-year brutal campaign of suicide bombings against Israeli pizza parlors, wedding halls, and discotheques. In 2005, Israeli Prime Minister Ariel Sharon decided that it was against Israel's security interest to govern the 1.1 million Palestinians in the Gaza Strip. Sharon dismantled all of the Jewish settlements and pulled Israeli forces back across the 1967 borders between Israel and Gaza without even any land swaps. As an added bonus, Israel left the Palestinians a thriving flour export industry to help jumpstart the local economy. The Palestinians' response to this generosity? Well, first they destroyed the donated greenhouses and then they launched a war of missiles and rockets against civilian targets in Israel. In a September 2008 meeting in Jerusalem, then-Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Olmert presented President Abbas with a detailed map of a future Palestinian state that, with land swaps, would constitute close to 100% of the territory of the West Bank and Gaza prior to the June 1967 war. Olmert also offered to divide Jerusalem, enabling the Palestinians to locate their capital in the eastern half of the city. Promising to come back the next day for further discussions, Abbas took Olmert's map to his Ramallah office, just a few miles outside Jerusalem, for his aides to study. But Abbas never returned with the map. This was the last time the Israeli and Palestinian leaders met. Many times over the last 63 years, both the international community and the State of Israel have offered the Arabs of Palestine their own state. Each time, these offers have been met by more violence against Jewish citizens.
This is so important. You're starting to see specifically, well, you heard earlier in part of this program, when you hear a boss giving those speeches, he's just not telling the truth.
No.
And even they teach in their schools, and their children in the schools, they teach them how to kill Jews, how to harm
stab
Jews, how to stab Jews, how to, you know, and they pay them, name streets after them if they kill Jews and push. And he's the one that you just saw talking. That's why we wanted to be able to show you
the contrast.
Debunk it, you know, understand that they've tried everything they could to be able to stop this thing,
yeah.
and give them all this land, even up to 80% at one time. But listen, God is about to deal with the evildoer. I mean, he told me very specifically, he's going to deal with the evildoer, even if you don't believe he's going to deal with it. He's going to deal with the evildoer. And when he does that, great provision is going to come. As a matter of fact, there's going to be a wealth transfer. And we have this gift for you. It's called the coming wealth transfer. Think about it. If you had the finances to be able to do what God laid on your heart, how much could you do for the kingdom of God? Well, it's coming. A great harvest is coming, and we're going to need wealth to do that. And here are the details. We want to send this to you free of charge. Check it out.
Offer 2033, the coming wealth transfer, making sense of the struggle, promise, principle, and the provision. A wealth transfer has begun and is coming. You want to be sure that you are ready and you don't miss it. In this message, you'll discover the importance of knowing and having faith in the promises of God. A time will come in your life where the Lord will walk you through learning the principles, character, and integrity you'll need to successfully move you into the provision of the promises of God. Learn how wealth transfer takes place in times of struggle and conflict or just after. If we don't understand the ways of God, we can become focused on our struggles that we miss its purpose and end up forgetting the promises of God and missing the provision of the promises of God. You'll be inspired to take the adventurous steps, just as those who have gone before us did, that enable us to enjoy the fruit of their faith and works. We want to send you this offer for a gift of any amount. You can become a partner by going to VFNTV.com and clicking on Partner Now. Or you can write to us at VFNTV, that's 40 West 9 Mile Road, number 2, PMB 360, Pensacola, Florida, 32534. Or call us at 844-408-3688. That's offer 2033, the coming wealth transfer, making sense of the struggle, the promise, the principle, and the provision.
Conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back. Can public land be donated to a religious organization? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
We teach the gospel to public school students through the Release Time Bible program.
Sure.
Our vision is to seek a camp to serve the community and these students. And we are talking with a borough council that is considering donating land to us, but there's a hang-up. They don't know if they can donate land to a religious organization.
There should be no difficulty there whatsoever. It's called an accommodation of religious practices. As long as the process is, and I'm sure it is with the borough or the township that you're involved in, that they've given other land to other organizations, the fact that it's a religious organization should not automatically disqualify it. You hang on the line here. We'll get you some help.
Find out more at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org.
Joyce from Vacaville, California is a fitness trainer and a business owner. And she wanted me to talk about measurable. I can understand, Joyce, why you would like me to do that, because you're a fitness trainer. And you're constantly, with your clients, measuring their progress. Of course you are. But it's not only important for a fitness trainer or a coach or for a speaker, but it's important for all of us to measure our accomplishments. And here's why. When we measure something, now we not only have a reality where we are, but we have a goal of where we want to go. And now we become intentional. Show me a person who doesn't know where they are, doesn't know where they want to go, and I will promise you they won't get there. Now, the good news is they'll still be happy, probably because they didn't know where they were supposed to be. But when you measure the things of life that are important, what gets measured gets done. then you achieve the things of life which are important. So, put it this way. If it's important, measure it. If it's not important, don't worry about it. But what gets measured is what gets done.
Pat, you know the great thing about all of our VFN radio listeners is that so many of them are connecting to us on Facebook. You know, we have a Facebook page. You may be listening today. You may not be aware, but we do. And you can go to facebook.com/VFNTV, or you can go to our VFNTV.com and click Facebook. Be a part. Like us. Tell your friends to like us. We're creating a virtual stadium where everyone can connect and be a part and get fresh updates on everything that happens that day on the program. Don't forget, go to VFNTV.com and click Facebook.
Welcome back to VFNTV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome, welcome back. This is an interesting trip, an amazing international trip that President Trump is taking, you know. And now here he is right there talking to Abbas, you know, and Abbas has already spoke. He's the president of the Palestinian people, elected Hamas government.
Yes.
And he's not a king. They actually voted him in. Mm. And so, and it's just, as you see, the debunking of that, how they, for years, tried to negotiate. You know, God's word is coming to pass. Even if Israel's trying to give away land, God's not going to let it happen.
No. And they tried. I mean, two major times they tried to give them this land. Mm-hmm. And they refuse it. And so the big thing about this peace negotiation is that what's to say the Palestinians are going to accept this next deal, you know?
Right. Well,
hopefully
won't.
President Trump
they
can,
won't.
But...
They won't. They won't accept it. They wouldn't. I mean, there's been almost 100% of the land. But, you know, you think about it, the God, the creator of the universe, there's going to come a day, a judgment day, and he's going to judge everyone, the nations. One of the ways he's going to judge them is in the Valley of Jehoshaphat, the Valley of Decision, what they did with the tangible land of Israel. I mean, it is a final judgment in the throne of God. And so, you know, why would you think when you see that debunking thing, you start thinking, this is not even, they're not even in the right mind. What are they saying? And it's like they're being driven by something other than just wisdom and knowledge and a desire for peace. There's something dark behind that.
Well, you remember so many times that the international community, including the United States, would give millions of dollars to the Palestinians instead of using that money for infrastructure, for hospitals, for schools. Mm-hmm. They built underground tunnels to attack Israel.
Yeah, they're still doing it now. They're still doing it now. I mean, look, like termites just kind of come in. Well, I know this. I know that. So we want to give you context of that. So you heard Abbas speak, President Abbas, he's president of the elected president of the Palestinian people. They chose him. Reports are that the government pays money. If you go kill a Jew and the number of Jews you kill, and even if you die in it, your family will get paid money for the rest of their life.
Reportedly, that is the law. That is the law.
Well, some of the money, you know, from that America and other countries are giving is going towards paying somebody who's killing Jews. And then also they name streets after that. And it's like, it is so demonic. I mean, it is just, you know, and it's so, I'm so grateful if you've been watching our last programs where President Trump's coming in and saying, I'm going to stand with you, Israel. We're going to stand together. It's not going to happen on my watch. And so here is President Trump in Bethlehem during his international tour, first international tour, of speaking directly to what he hopes is going to happen with the Palestinian people in Israel. Take a look.
It's an honor to join you in Bethlehem, the city that is precious to people from all over the world. It's a precious city. As I discussed with President Abbas in Washington earlier this month, I am committed to trying to achieve a peace agreement between the Israelis and the Palestinians, and I intend to do everything I can to help them achieve that goal. President Abbas assures me he is ready to work toward that goal in good faith. And Prime Minister Netanyahu has promised the same. I look forward to working with these leaders toward a lasting peace. I also look forward to working with President Abbas on other important matters, such as unlocking the potential of the Palestinian economy, which is having a very rough time, and building on our very positive counterterrorism efforts. Several days ago in Saudi Arabia, I met with the leaders of the Muslim world and Arab nations from all across the region. It was an epic gathering. It was a historic event. King Salman of Saudi Arabia could not have been kinder, and I will tell you, he is a very wise, wise man. I called on these leaders and asked them to join in a partnership to drive terrorism from their midst once and for all. It was a deeply productive meeting. People have said there has really never been anything even close in history. I believe that. Being there and seeing who was there and hearing the spirit and a lot of love, there has never been anything like that in history. And it was an honor to be involved, but great things can come from that meeting. I was gratified that President Abbas joined the summit and committed to taking firm but necessary steps to fight terrorism and confront its hateful ideology. And it's so interesting that our meeting took place on this very horrible morning of death to innocent young people. Peace can never take root in an environment where violence is tolerated, funded, and even rewarded. We must be resolute in condemning such acts in a single, unified voice. Peace is a choice we must make each day, and the United States is here to help make that dream possible for young Jewish, Christian, and Muslim children all across the region. In so doing, we will all enjoy a safer and brighter future and a safer and brighter world. In this spirit of hope, we come to Bethlehem, asking God for a more peaceful, safe, and far more tolerant world for all of us. I am truly hopeful that America can help Israel and the Palestinians forge peace and bring new hope to the region and its people. I also firmly believe that if Israel and the Palestinians can make peace, it will begin a process of peace all throughout the Middle East, and that would be an amazing accomplishment. Thank you very much. Thank you.
This is so, so very important, because this is the guy who talks about the art of the deal.
Oh, yeah.
And you can't prejudge this thing, because that's the, I think the biggest thing that's frustrating the secular press is they don't have a clue what he's going to do. Even he doesn't share with his press secretary all the time, and
no.
They're behind the ball.
He holds his cards close.
Yes, but when you know that, you know, on October the 3rd, 2016, God told me specifically that President Trump was going to be the president. And he showed me the smooth transition that would take place and that all the people that he would be inviting to the White House. But then the Lord tells Pastor John Kilpatrick, a church of his presence in Daphne, Alabama, told him specifically that God was raising up Trump and was going to give him generals to be able to keep the people, Israel, in their land. So this tension between the Palestinian governmental leaders and Israel, God's going to deal with us. He said the seed of evil is going to come down. Mm. And the seed of the righteous is going to rise. And he said specifically that when he deals with the evildoer, the moment he deals with them, provision's going to come. Great provision. I mean, he showed me this in a night vision. It was powerful. So much gold was to be raining down in this vision. It was like slices of gold that was coming down. You couldn't even see across the courtroom where God was dealing with the trial. So just, this is a wonderful thing. We need to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, pray for Israel, and pray for God's will to come to pass in this whole situation, and pray that we just do what's been written in the law for quite some time, which is to move
yes.
the embassy from Tel Aviv to the capital of Israel,
Jerusalem.
Which is Jerusalem. And I'm thinking he's probably going to tell the Palestinian people, if you don't negotiate, I'm not going to sign the waiver, and we're going to move it in. And they're going to make the decision that moves the embassy in there. This is a brilliant negotiator.
Let's see it. Let's see it happen. Let's see it. Let's see it be done.
Well, I'm excited. Right after this break, we're going to be able to tell you about the trip to Rome, where President Trump and the First Lady went in Air Force One.
Yes.
Went to meet the Pope. It's gonna encourage you, and you see where he went to see the Islamic leaders in Saudi Arabia, went to the Jewish leaders in Israel, and also the Christian leaders in Israel, and now they're going to the Catholic leaders in
the Vatican, Rome.
In the Vatican. Join us out at the break.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
We're so excited about the marriage encounter. So many people are complaining about what marriage has turned into. A lot of people are not even going to be married anymore, and people are giving up on it. You don't have to. Listen, God's plan is marriage. And at the marriage encounter with VFN, we want to bless you. The VFN Kingdom business, we're focusing on you, your family, and your marriage. It's called Love and Respect. We have a special thing for you, an entire weekend. It's going to bless your family. It's going to give you tools to be able to relate. And let me tell you something. Once we understand each other, we can relate to each other. And we're going to leave with tools that are going to empower you. As a matter of fact, here's Emerson now with Love and Respect.
Hi, I'm Emerson Eggerich, founder and president of Love and Respect Ministries. What is the Love and Respect message? Well, the University of Washington studied 2,000 couples for 20 years and discovered that the key to a successful relationship is love and respect. What I found interesting is that the Bible said that 2,000 years ago in Ephesians 5:33, that a husband must love and a wife must respect. It's gender specific. I always insert, we all need love and respect equally. Women need R-E-S-P-E-C-T and men need L-O-V-E. But there's a felt need that differs in conflict between men and women. We've asked 7,000 people this question. When you're in a conflict with your spouse, do you feel in love at that moment or disrespected? 83% of the men said they feel disrespected. 72% of the women say they feel unloved. And here's what happens. It kind of gets crazy because she's not trying to be disrespectful. He filters it through that grid, though. When she feels unloved, she reacts in a negative way, which ends up feeling disrespectful to him. She's not trying to be disrespectful, but he feels disrespected. And then when he reacts in a negative way, he's not trying to be unloving, but she feels unloved. And so you have this confusion, and it results in a crazy cycle. Without love, she reacts without respect. Without respect, he reacts without love, and this baby spins. Again, we all need love and respect equally, but the felt need often leads to the crazy cycle. Can you relate to that? And how to get on what we call the energizing cycle. In fact, it applies to parent-child. It applies to all relationships, whether you're a male or female, wherever you're at, in the work arena or elsewhere.
Well, listen, I want to tell you about this. You know, we are excited to tell you we have launched VFN TV's YouTube channel. We are out there. We have people request it. I'm very excited about it. You know, you can simply go to it by going to VFNTV.com and click on YouTube, or you can go to YouTube.com/VFNTV. But I wanted you to know that we are out there in YouTube. We have an audience now that stretches all around the world that's joined us in other ways as well. And we thank you for watching, and you can subscribe to us. As a matter of fact, you know, you can go there and check every from time to time about new, because almost every day new content's coming out there. But one way to make sure that you be notified that content is happening is you go there and you press the button subscribe. You can see that button here probably. Just press that button. It doesn't cost you nothing. It's just a thing that happens. And then you'll be notified every time new materials put up on the YouTube channel. That's right, VFN TV. We're now on YouTube. It's youtube.com/VFNTV, or just go to VFNTV.com and click on YouTube.
Welcome back to VFNTV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. Well, this is so exciting. President Trump's first international tour of the world. He's setting the narrative and the agenda for peace and
casting vision.
And, you know, America is so respected and honored, and President Trump has been so respected and honored, as he's respected and honored other leaders. And
stark contrast, because you go back to the previous administration, it was like America had to apologize everywhere America went, and Americans weren't respected. And you could just see with the transition of new leadership, they welcomed our president, which is represents the United States, like royalty.
Well, you remember our sailors just got close to Iran, and they took our sailors basically hostage, if you would, and then humiliated them, made them, you know, in a humiliating fashion. And
with
they were
no consequences.
Firing shots towards our ships and getting as close as, like, things are changing.
Oh, yes.
And this is so important because you heard the president on our previous program of Israel, Revlon, say specifically that we need America to be strong. The world needs America to be strong. And
that America was back again.
America was back. That sounded familiar, didn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Well, the president also went to Rome to see the Pope. He went to the Vatican. As a matter of fact, take a look here. This is the president going to Rome.
Yes, he's...
This is guards for the Vatican. These are special... Believe it or not, they actually desire to be those outfits. But these are tough guards.
Well, you're saying the whole administration or the cabinet members, they're going to be walked in. They're single file line and they're being escorted. Don't know exactly who these.
This is the
are.
Catholic Church. This is the head of the Catholic Church, the Vatican. Is that sort of like at the Baptist Church? What it's like when y'all come in?
No. I've never seen that before. And I don't know who these gentlemen are. But the president, there he is. You're seeing a shot of the president. He's walking with one of the cardinals.
Oh, that's not.
No. Nope.
TBN. That would be TBN.
There's the president.
And there was a situation, you know, when he was running for office.
Yes.
And the Pope came in the politics. And then so the president said the Pope, they started talking about walls and you shouldn't build walls and things. And
well, there's a lot of walls here.
Yeah, I know. We'll talk about that in a minute. But they have walls around the whole city.
Yes.
With guards on those walls.
I believe it's its own government in a way.
It's its own country.
Wow.
That's why a lot of people fear Christians coming in, because they think that at the Catholic Church we're going to take over their government.
I think that's a problem in China.
Yeah. China, Hong Kong. Here's the president right here.
And he's being escorted to see the Pope. You can see Melania Trump, the first lady, right behind the president. Now, interesting that Melania there is wearing a headscarf, not something that she wore when she was in Saudi Arabia, but showing that she has honor and just, I guess, respecting the church.
So they're going to see the Pope. If you're watching right now and joining us, you're looking at President Trump coming in to see the Pope. And understand that the Pope is the leader of that country, the papacy.
Mm-hmm.
And so it is its own country. It has its own government, its own police. And it's not part of a country. It is a country.
Yeah. Wow, amazing. I believe they're about to escort him into another room, another area where the Pope is.
He's behind the door. He's behind the door.
Okay.
Here we go. Okay. This is President Trump coming to see the Pope. Pope Francis.
Pope Francis.
Pope Francis. There he is, Pope Francis. The first meeting with Pope Francis since he's become President of the United States. Probably the first meeting, first time he's ever met him.
Yes.
Actually.
Yes.
Taking him into his space. I believe those are cardinals right there that bring him in. You know, Pope Francis did that big tour of America in that small car. Remember that?
Oh, yes.
And President Obama came
Pope,
to Secret
Pope
Service.
Mobile, I think they
the Pope Mobile.
It.
Yeah, now the President, Trump, is coming over to see the Pope.
I believe the Pope took his name from Francis of Assisi.
Yes.
And one of the things I like that Francis of Assisi said, is that preach the gospel all the time, but when necessary, use words.
So they're obviously having a conversation. So I didn't mean to bring the wall thing up. No big deal.
Thanks for coming to visit
me. When Air Force One was flying in, we noticed you had walls around here. Pope Francis. Yeah. This is good, though. It's good to get dialogue and conversation.
Sure,
and,
absolutely.
And you're looking at, well, he's taught with Islam, he's taught with Judaism, he's taught with the Christians in Israel, and also with the Catholics.
Sure. I mean, the President of the United States really is the leader of the free world, and he's talking to a leader here in the Pope.
As a matter of fact, I believe in just a moment we're about to see Alani, the First Lady,
yes,
with the Pope coming in just a moment. As a matter of fact, right here, this is you can see right here, this is the First Lady meeting Pope Francis as they're bringing him in. That's First Lady Alana. Did she talk about, he talked about his food?
I think so.
Oh, my goodness.
What are you feeding him?
I know. Yes, yes, exactly. Oh, my goodness.
I think, he has a lot of catered meals.
Yeah, he's a bigger guy. So you're looking at their family's meeting. You have
Ivanka Trump is set to meet the Pope.
Yeah, so you're looking at as an advisor to the president, too. He's the one who actually set up a lot of this tour.
Yes.
That's going on.
A senior, by one of the closest advisors the president has.
Well, listen, we need to come to a close, and this is very exciting what's taking place. I want to be able to pray with you before we go and just thank God and continue to pray for our president, pray for peace in the world. But Lord, we just pray over our audience,
yes,
pray a
Lord.
Blessing over them, encourage them. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem, Lord God. We pray for wisdom over our president and unity over our government, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
We want to give special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can join us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Download our app and sign up for our newsletter, The Torch, at VFNTV.com. I've enjoyed our time together. God bless.
That's right. We have another way how you can stay connected with VFN Radio. It's called the Torch Newsletter. Every week, the Torch Newsletter goes out. And in the newsletter, you're going to get the best of the best of VFN Radio for that week. You're also going to get all the VFN Radio highlights emailed directly into your inbox. So whether you want to listen on your phone, whether you get your emails on your tablet, or whether you get it on your home PC, you will have access to that week's VFN Radio highlights. Go to VFNTV.com and select newsletter sign up, or text VFNTV at 22828. Again, text VFNTV at 22828 and type in your email address. Sign up for the Torch Newsletter now.